What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pie. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I, too, have a trading problem.
I'm Jake Earl, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to I Hid the Sheet, session 160 of Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. It is yet another day here at the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network and DLF family of podcasts. And we have what we were just talking about, a good buddy who is one of a kind at this point because he is a member of the Cool Kids Club, shout out, a member of the Junkies
Listener League.
What else was it? There was like three other things.
In the Harry Potter League and the DDCL.
Yes, my Harry Potter League and the Dynasty Diagnostic Championship League. This guy is literally just following us around. It's getting a little creepy. So we were just like, dude, all right, get on the let's just do this. Let's get away from my rear window and let's just get you on the podcast. So, I mean, let's just jump straight into it. Jake, first, you know, drop who you are, your handle, and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I'm Jake Earl. My handle's at the Jake Earl. I don't do anything, but I'm on Twitter, interacting, retweeting, whatever I do. I don't have any content or anything like that.
Yet.
Maybe. I mean, I years ago, that was my life, and then I liked money, so I stopped writing and doing that sort of thing. But I started playing, I'm going to answer your question before you ask it. I started playing fantasy at, like, I want to say 9.
Oh, damn.
It was in the newspaper, and you would just have to submit your lineups and mail it on like Monday for the following week. And the only reason I remember the time is it was like a 2-year window where I could have Peyton Manning and Jerry Rice, but it was against pretty much everybody in the city of Buffalo. And I was 9 and I did terrible, but that's how I started.
So wait, playing... so it's not even like you were in a league. This was something you did with the paper. Like the paper ran fantasy football.
Yes.
That's the coolest thing ever.
I know. I never heard of that before.
Seriously.
Like I said, I was 9. I don't remember the details, but it was shortly after touchdown only. I remember getting points for yards. And like you just picked a different lineup. It was kind of, it was budget based. And you just picked a different lineup every week. It was almost like betting, but there was no money, and I think the best thing you could win was like a year subscription to the Buffalo News.
That sounds like a great prize. I'm not gonna back in the day where people read newspapers, you were riding high. You know, I mean, people stealing newspapers was like such a main thing on sitcoms that it was just, you know, there you go. That's so cool.
Jerry Rice, what year was this?
It had to be 98, 99. So like Manning would have been like a rookie or a second year, and Jerry Rice was starting to tweet. You know, fall off. I think he might have been on the Raiders at that point. It was right around there.
And that's still freaking cool, though. Like to say, like, you had Peyton Manning and Jerry Rice. Like, I never had Chargers LaDainian Tomlinson on one of my teams.
Like, I definitely did.
like, I'm trying to think of like the last person that was like great, like that on that level that I could say I had on my team. And I honestly can't really even think of one.
After him, it was Sean Alexander was like a super easy 101 right after LT. And then it was the Adrian Peterson years forever.
Yeah. See, I tried to jump in the middle there on Brian Westbrook and it failed me miserably.
I had prime Larry Johnson in one of my first years playing fantasy.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. And I traded him for a quarterback and a wide receiver in a 1QB redraft league.
Hey, that worked sometimes back in the day.
Yeah, it could work.
Yeah. Like, I remember there was one year we were fighting, me and one of my friends, because he had pick one, I had pick two. And I was trying to get him to tell me who he was going to pick between Aaron Rodgers and Arian Foster. Like, those were the consensus one and two back then. And he's like, no, I'm doing it. I'm taking Foster, and it's going to be fine. I'm going to go start with the running back and build it from there. 3 seconds later, Aaron Rodgers 101. Wait, what? And like, it never crossed my mind he was lying to me. It was just, ugh, son of a mean. Okay, well, I mean, keep answering questions. Why should I have to ask them at this point? If you know what's going to happen.
All right, so then I started playing Dynasty in 2017, and I did a startup. I started in a startup that I ran, so I learned Dynasty from the commissioner side of things, which was kind of fun. Yeah, it was a whole bunch of people who'd never been in a Dynasty.
Oh, no.
How could he do this to me? Jake just kind of disappeared. I guess he just got so overwhelmed being on our podcast that it just... Oh, there he goes. Here he's back.
That was
hey,
weird.
Buddy.
Hi. So, yeah, 10 team, one quarterback league, 2017 is when I started. And then we were talking about this earlier. My second league was the 48 team DDCL. So I went from like, oh, this is kind of fun, to I have no idea what's going on.
It's cool because we're on what, year three or four of the DDCL, and no one has an idea what's going on still. So yeah, it's
I don't
cool.
think anybody does. I don't even think Eitan knows what's going on.
I run that league and I have no idea what's going on. So it's fine. Don't worry about it. Man, that's such a freaking jump, though. Like, it's always fun for me to listen to people's jump into Dynasty, because like, there's so many people that are like, oh yeah, my first league was salary contract IDP. No big deal. It's just like, what? That's a huge deal. Why would you do that?
That's everything.
And like, you're just like, yeah, I just, you know. No one knew what they were doing, so I ran the league. Was it really terrible? Like, what were your settings like that you'd never really thought you would have to set? Like, how, like, did you do research before setting the league?
Like, yeah, I did, you know, quick Google search, like how to set up a dynasty league. Because, like, our main redraft league that me and my buddies were in folded, and we're like, well, it was a keeper league. Let's just try this dynasty thing everybody talks about. So we just, like, Google search, okay, 25-man rosters. That seems like a lot, but let's do it. And then 5-round rookie drafts. That's not enough. Let's do 8. And those are brutal.
Yeah.
It's 10. It's still 80 players, and you can, but we have defenses still. I can't get them voted out. So we have defenses. It's super vanilla, but it's a good league. I still have yet to win it.
I have a home dynasty league. I run with kickers and defenses. I can't get either voted out.
Oh, no. When I made the rules, everybody's like, why aren't there kickers? I'm like, because it's Dynasty and nobody cares.
Yes. You're the commish. Just when you renew the league, don't add it in.
The people who have been hoarding defenses for 4 years would be really mad.
That's their fault for hoarding defenses.
Yeah, that's a thing. Defenses and quarterbacks in a one quarterback league. I had to put in positional limits on onesie twosie positions. Like, you can only have 4 quarterbacks because my cousin drafted 7 in the startup.
Yes, I definitely play with people like that. It's awful. It's a 12-team keeper league, and for some reason, quarterbacks still go. It's like I'm playing with a bunch of hogs. It's one quarterback, but they still go early and often, and some dude needed Dak Prescott as a second quarterback in the fourth for some reason. It's just like, all right, that's cool.
That's a way to do it.
I grabbed Justin Herbert after a couple of weeks, but you have Dak sitting on your bench. That's fine. It's fine. It helps me win, even though I lost last year. But that's, again, bringing up painful memories. All right, so you've been playing Dynasty since 2017. You jumped from a one quarterback vanilla league to the freaking DDCL. What are some of your best and some of your worst trades?
So my best trade was in that one quarterback league. It was when Tyreek Hill was in all sorts of trouble. And everybody thought he was going to be suspended for like the whole year. Mm-hmm. My team was productive struggling, and I'm like, all right, I can buy him. So I traded Amari Cooper for Tyreek Hill and a 2020 first.
Whoa. And
the first became, I didn't make it, but on paper it became Justin Jefferson. So wow. Jefferson and Tyreek for Amari Cooper.
But you traded it before you got to.
Yeah, I traded. I just jumped around in the draft. I got a whole bunch of seconds out of it, basically. And then those seconds lead into my worst trade.
Cool. Was,
actually, I two like of when them.
It's circular like that.
Yeah. Just
brings it same, all right back around.
Same league with. So the third, I remember it vividly. The Thursday before the Friday, the day before Darius Geis became no more, I traded Bryan Edwards and Devin Duvernay for Geis, which doesn't look terrible because they weren't anything, but it felt really bad the next day when he wasn't in the league anymore.
Yeah.
So then still trying to get another running back, I took 4 seconds and a first in each of the next 2 years, so 21 and 22, and got Leonard Fournette, and then he got cut 2 weeks later.
Tell me what running backs you're going after.
Just avoid.
Yeah.
That's the last time I really traded for a running back. I traded for Kerryon Johnson in that league too. So I stopped trading for running backs.
Worked out perfectly for you.
Yeah. Luckily I drafted Antonio Gibson and that kind of worked out. So
I'm remembering, I actually had a season like that too, where it was literally 3 trades in a row where none of them lasted for more than a week. Because they just kept getting hurt and hurt and hurt. Yep. And I literally, if this is a 10-team redraft keeper league that's been going on for like 7 or 8 years. And I mean, I literally am like, I love and respect this league. I'm just not touching it. This free wins for whoever plays me for the rest of the season. Like, I just like don't care. Like, I am hurting everyone and everything in my other leagues because I'm trading for them in this league. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's just not fair for anyone and everyone. Okay, but not about me, about you. What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are evaluating or offering trades?
I had to think about this for like the last week from when I listened to the last pod. And I came up with, I don't have one. I throw it at the wall and see what sticks. I've made as many trades as I love that I hate. And there's no philosophy behind any of them other than it felt good.
Which is, in fact, a philosophy. So there you go.
I just do what makes me feel good. It's narcissistic, but it works for me.
Hey, man, hedonism is a thing for a reason. I'm just saying. I mean, there's even a character in Futurama, a hedonism bot. You know, it wouldn't be in Futurama if it wasn't really a thing.
We're using big words like narcissistic and hedonism.
If it weren't for Futurama, I wouldn't know it. Most of the things I know in life, I learned from cartoons. Let's just put it, you know, clearly if you hear me talk, that's just pretty obvious. Whew. Okay. Well, we have a couple of listener questions, a bunch of Trade Addicts trades. Thanks to Dustin, who decided to do the Outhouse Twitter challenge, which saved our show sheet a little bit because we had like 3 trades and now we have like 7. So Jake, which do you want to do first? Do you want to do some trades first? Do you want to do some questions first?
Let's do questions.
Okay. So let's scroll down. First, fellow cool kid, Luis Bueno. I got a question. If Urban Meyer was serious that he wanted Kadarius Toney, what does that say about his faith in DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault? Should we be out on them? What do you think about it, Jake? Oh yeah, because Jags fan. Jake,
yeah, go. Jags fan. I think it says more about what they plan to do with ETN and the coach speak coming out. They want that slash versatile guy to run all around the field, and they wanted Toney to do that. And thank God, as a Jags fan, the Giants ruined that. Because as much as I was mad at ETN, I would have been more mad at Toney. So I think that probably hurts Shenault more than Chark, because that was kind of what he was doing towards the end of last year. But I mean, Trevor Lawrence is everything he's supposed to be. 3 receivers really isn't a problem, whether it's ETN or some other receiver, Colin Johnson. It's not Marvin Jones, but he's there. I don't think it really hurts them because
Lawrence with Rocky and I, ball. This will always be a Marvin Jones podcast.
Yes, definitely. I have no idea what to make of the Jags wide receiver core. Like, do you favor one over the other? Like, I mean, Marvin Jones is like you said, it's a Marvin Jones pod, but he's short lived. So between Shark and Chenault, do you have a preference in terms of fantasy?
I bought a lot of Chenault like 2-3 months ago before he was a first and a half like he is now.
Same.
Now they're like the same value. I think they were back to back in ADP the last time I looked. And if that's the case, I think I'd rather have Chark because he has a little bit more of the profile and the production. But I mean, they're almost both too expensive now to where I'm not positive I want to buy either because they'll just cannibalize each other.
See, what I read out of this is, first, Urban Meyer needs to stop talking. He says the weirdest things. Like, yeah, we drafted a third down receiving back in the first. Like, why? What? Like, you're going to split first and second down duties between James Robinson and Carlos Hyde. Like, he mentioned Carlos Hyde by name.
Yes.
And then he's going to bring in Etienne on third downs. What?
That's what I think the biggest takeaway here is that Urban Meyer is potentially a disaster here.
I really hope he's not. We've seen he can coach, but I'm hoping he's just saying stupid things for the sake of saying stupid things, like keeping things close to the vest by making other people think he's crazy. But what I did pick up from all of this is I just think they're going to throw the ball a lot, which makes me happy because like Jake was saying, I bought a ton of Chenault this non-point scoring season, and I've already had a bunch of Chark, so I'm all in. And I grabbed a lot of Colin Johnson because he was the cheap guy.
Yeah.
You know, if one guy magically moves up, it could be him. It's worth a third. Yeah. So like that's really what I did. I bought anyone on that receiving core that I could, and I think that's what's gonna happen. Like I really towards the end of the season last year, it's not like you can compare Jake Luton's led offense to what, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be. But I loved the way they started to use Visca, like you were bringing up before. To me, it wasn't necessarily as a gadget guy, but it was more of like, it was almost Tyler Boyd-ish, where he's a bit of a bigger dude, so you can let him take five steps, catch the ball, bounce off a guy, and get a couple of yards. And like he was manhandling people after the catch. It was a lot of fun to watch. So I don't think this is a big deal. I don't think this is bad for Chark. I don't think this is bad for Chenault. It's weird for Etienne. And I don't know, is it Etienne or Etienne? Because I keep saying both. So I think I'm just going to keep saying both until someone proves me wrong on one of them.
And I think I usually see Etienne.
That's just wrong.
Neither of the things you said.
That's just wrong altogether.
I mean, I always see it shortened as letter E, letter T, letter N, so that's ETN to me.
Sold. Done. It's ETN. I'll say it like that from now
ETN.
On. Yeah. So I really what I'm hoping all of this means is it's just going to be an open offense. But hopefully Carlos Hyde has nothing to do with, because that would just be ridiculous. But like I'm just hoping that they're just going to pass the ball a lot, which they haven't done anything great for that defense, so I don't know if they can afford to not throw the ball a lot.
Yeah,
so
they're gonna be behind a lot still.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think I'm not worried in a greater sense about any of the guys, because I do think Chark can profile as a one. I do think Chenault can profile as a whatever the hell you want him to be, and Etienne can run it to the outside and catch a couple of screen passes. And again, since their defense is terrible, I think there's room for all of that. And it's not like they have a tight end or anything. So
what do you mean? They have a great tight end. That's the news we forgot to bring up.
Who Tim thinks? Tebow. Oh, no. They don't have a tight end, so it's fine. And then I did this last week. No, I'm not talking about that. All right. So let's move on to the next question, which is from one of the many Nick Martinez's. This time it's TA3 Nick Martinez at Nick Martinez BR. We'll just see how many times I can say Nick Martinez in a small period of time. Which MFL email do you get most excited to see in your inbox? Trade offer, trade accepted, on the clock, trade bait updated, league renewed, etc. So we are all men of MFL, Rocky. What is your favorite email to see?
This is easily trade accepted. Trade offers 80% of the time are junk anyway. I don't really pay attention to trade baits. So yeah, trade accepted is, you know, you've sent something, you like it, it's getting accepted. You get that little rush.
Do you know it's you? It's like the way I took this as Is it yours? I don't know. Is it someone's?
I was taking it as my trade being accepted. Yeah, because that's true.
You know, everyone else in the Trade Addicts League is sending trades also, fingers crossed. So you don't know if it's yours. You just see trade completed. And it could be, you know, like Dustin was going nuts in TA3 because he was doing the NOS challenge. So like you just see Dustin trade accepted. You don't know if it's mine. You don't know if it's yours. But you know there's a trade accepted.
I think I would still go with trade accepted. It's fun to see, you know, what trades are going through. You know, what changes may be happening in other teams. Like I said, trade offers, I don't know about you two, but 80, 90% of the ones I get are like, yeah, no way I am doing this. So yeah. Sometimes coming from Russ. So
yeah, it is very, yes, we could talk about that a little later. Man, I sense Rocky some bad ones.
and I don't even pay attention to trade bait. So I don't care about that one. And I need to turn off some of my notifications. I think I have notifications on for trade baits. I need to take that off. I have trade waiver baits. Ones on. I need to take
the waiver ones off. Are ridiculous.
Yeah. Someone commented like it's underrated.
That was me.
Free agent. Yeah, no, that's wrong. That is awfully wrong. I've turned off every league. Yes, I know. But
I need to take the time and go through my 10 leagues to turn it off because it reminds me of two things. It's either, somebody that's terrible is on waivers, or, I missed another waiver run and I probably lost out on James Robinson again.
Yep, exactly. That and, you know, 10 leagues, that's cute. For Rocky and I, it's you know, much, much more. So every time someone gets dropped, every waiver, after.
That's even worse, actually. Free agent moves.
Yep. Especially after waiver runs, everyone jumps on the first come, first serves in 20-something leagues. It's just like, oh, my God. Why did you pick up that guy? Why did you bother picking up Andrew Luck? Look, I know I have him on some of my teams, but I'm not going to be dumb and pick him up now in the leagues I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's just. So much. So wait, Jake, did you actually give your answer? Like what's your favorite email to see?
I didn't. I think it's trade offer, because even if they're terrible, I can usually start with something. At the very least, I can be petty and send something awful right back.
Yeah, see, that was honestly gonna be my answer. I think trade offer is I'm with you, Rock. I'm insanely jaded to the point where it's like I get an offer, and especially like you know the person, like because you see who offered you a trade, you're just like, what does Larry Monkey want from me now that I'm not going to give him because this trade is terrible.
Today I got an offer of Matt Ryan and Robert Woods for Trevor Lawrence on a rebuilding team.
Yeah.
And that's pretty typical.
I got nothing on that. Yeah. But still, it's still nice because like every once in a while you're like, yeah, this is, or at least it's something I can work with this. Or it's just like, oh my God, I have to go mercilessly mock this person in the group chat. Like, to me, there's more that can come from it. I do like trade bait, though. I think it doesn't get the respect it deserves, unlike your joke of free agent and all of that stuff. Because I don't know. It's just, especially in leagues like the Trade Addicts leagues, usually everyone's up for grabs. Like, you know, if you send an offer, it's not too often you're going to hear that person's not for trade. Like, if you come at me for Calvin Ridley, I'm going to say, you're going to have to overpay for him. Well, people know that by now for him and me. But, you know, it's the assumption that you can get anyone on anyone's team. But every once in a while, like, someone updates their trade bait, and it's just a bunch of really interesting players. And you're like, oh, okay, I was actually working, but I'm going to stop that now and see if I can put it together for one of these guys. I mean, every once in a while, it's like you get the bad trade offers. You do get they updated their trade bait of Tim Patrick, Darius Slayton, and Josh Oliver. Oh, cool. I'm glad you wasted 20 seconds of my life making me check this email. That's cool. Looking for a quarterback. What? Like, yes, there are some times where it's not used correctly and it's wasted, just like crappy trade offers. But I do like trade bait, and I firmly push the idea that it should be used and used correctly in every league, even though I know a lot of people hate it.
Yeah. I like trade bait mostly when a bunch of orphans come in or a couple of orphans come in.
Oh, yeah.
Totally revitalizes who's on the block.
Which recently happened in the DDCL, where there was, I think, four orphans filled. And right away, I think there was like a good 4 to 5 trades.
Yep.
None of mine, because Damien wouldn't give me his players for less than he wanted to sell them for. I mean, come on, I put you in the league. Cut me a freaking break. God, what's the point of running in a league if I'm not going to get cheap trades?
They all came in while I was working on building all of this, so I completely missed all that fun.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. No, I was actually thinking about bringing this up, and this sort of segues into it perfectly. I want to talk about trade rejected emails. I want to talk about not just deleting them when you see them in your inbox, because most of the time, I will put something in that rejection email. I use the comments a lot. You know, recently I got a trade offer, which wasn't very good, don't get me wrong, but it was like, all right, man, well, you came after Ridley and DeAndre Swift. You offered me decent players, but I like both of my guys better. Are you after my guys? Or are you trying to get rid of the guys you offered? And it led to like two offers back and forth. And he hasn't answered me in like 6 hours. So come on, Chris. But like, I constantly use the comments, and I think people should, like, even if you're just like, nah, or I always do WUT question mark. Like, what?
Well, one of my favorite comments was actually sent to you. You sent me something where you were selling me a quarterback for something I didn't want. Yes, that. Do you even know me?
And I think I even replied to that. I'm like, yes, and that's what made this even funnier for me. Because I know, like, even I used to do it every once in a while. I'm like, oh, trade rejected, just going to delete it. And then when I started using the comments section more and more, I absolutely every single time I get, even if you get that trade rejected trade offer, like right away, like they countered, I still check the rejected just in case they put something in there, because that can help push towards future trades. And if you don't use it and you just delete your rejected, start using it. Stop rejecting. Grow as a person. Grow as a fantasy football player. That's why you listen to us, right? For maturity and growth advice.
That's totally what we're about.
That's it.
So fart jokes, yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't always do it, but I try and put something in the comments.
Yeah. Even if I just put just no, like nothing about this is for me.
not even beginning to be in the realm of close is things I type a lot. Like, no, way far off, man. No, so I and it just occurred to me to talk about it. I think it was like yesterday, today. So I'm glad Nick gave us this question, because it gave me a perfect excuse to actually remember to talk about it, because chances are I would not have. All right, so we have one more question from Cal at Calvin and Hobby, which I love Calvin and Hobbs, so I love his handle. 14 team startup. The 210 is asking to move up to the 104. What do you need to add to make you? What do you have to add for you to make that move? And we later learned this is a 1QB PPR IDP league, which we all flipped out like, we don't know what the hell's IDP mean. Like, and he said, no IDP players are going that early. And Rocky went for a pee break, so he's not even going to answer this question anyway. Let's just say it's a 14-team, 1QB PPR league. How much do you think it would take for you to accept a trade of a guy moving up? What was that, like 17 picks?
Yeah. 210 to the 104. I mean, in the Harry Potter league, I did a move up like this. Different league, but kind of same idea. And I had to give up like my third through my sixth to get from... I didn't give up my second, though. But to get from an early third to a late first. So I would think it'd be something like that, like three or four mid-round picks and maybe like a jump around somewhere at their 12th. It'd take a lot.
Yeah, and it's just funny because I literally said to myself, if you're not giving me your, you know, you're not giving me your first, I want your 2, 3, 4, uh-oh, five. Did I go?
I don't want to be the only one here. You're back.
I'm okay. All right. If you ask me, I never left. So in case my crap did just cut out. I have a freaking like Wi-Fi extender thing right there. I shouldn't be losing internet. So yeah, like if you're not giving me your first, which wasn't really brought up into it, like maybe if he's willing to sell his first to move up, like swap firsts and use the 210, but that wouldn't make sense with the wording of this. Man, it's going to take a lot. Exactly like you said, like give me 3, 4, 5 in a future second and we could start the talk, because that's a huge jump in a 14 team league. That is at least it's 1 QB, so it's not like you completely miss out on the QB run
in the beginning. Yeah,
so that's fine, but yeah, it's gonna cost a lot, and IDP's gross. Stop it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, that is our listener question. So let's scroll up to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage, because Rocky won't give me his players for cheap in Trade Addicts 1, so we don't have a Trade Addicts 1. I sent him such a bad offer. Do you remember off your top of your head what it was? It was Diontae Johnson.
You wanted Kamara and Keenan Allen. Yeah, it was Johnson, a 22 first, and something else. I can't remember what.
And it was your 22 first, too. It was not good. Like, he replied, and he's just like, this is light for Kamara, not including Allen.
Yeah.
And I DM him, I'm like, one of those moments where you don't realize how bad your trade offer was until you get the rejection email. My bad.
Yeah. Yes, but I did make sure to put notes on the rejection.
Yes, you did, and it was absolutely worth it, because that was so bad. Like, I don't know if I meant to add someone else or if I thought it was a good deal at the time. Like, I
hope you meant to add someone else.
I forgot to unclick Keenan, like, because I went in there wanting him, and then I'm like, oh, let me just try for Kamara. Like, I really hope I did something stupid, and that's what led to that, because me, like, oh, no, he'll probably accept this. That would have been bad.
I think you sometimes overrate my Diontae love there, Russ.
Oh, I absolutely do try, but no, I did not even think that. Like, I wish that was a good excuse, but it was not. All right, so let's go to Trade Addicts 2. Our first trade is Matt Stafford, Drew Lock, for some reason, Marquez Callaway, a 22 first and 23 third. So let's just go. It's Matt Stafford for Drew Lock and a 22 first. What do you think of that, Jake?
I looked at this earlier. Like, first and a third, I don't have any Stafford, and I haven't seen any trades. It sounds about right, maybe a little light for Stafford, but Drew Lock and Marquez Callaway could be nothing by June 3rd. So I think it's about right. I'd want the Stafford side, because that's the only thing that's going to score any points here. And I had to Google who Marquez Callaway was.
He was he's on the Saints.
He's on the Saints.
Yes. He was relevant for about 30 minutes. It was a wonderful 30 minutes, and it's over now. What about you, Rock?
Yeah, this is pretty easily Stafford for me. This is sort of the kind of the move I would make, excuse me, trading down a quarterback. But when I do that, I want a guy that I think can still have some security but is undervalued for whatever. I mean, Drew Lock may not be starting a single game in 2021 for all we know. That
50-50 quarterback competition is what was it, Fangio is
the, and I still don't think the Aaron Rodgers thing is dead, so I'm not risking Drew Lock. I have him in a few places because of my strategy of, you know, taking cheaper quarterbacks, but I'm not trading for Drew Lock and anything for Matthew Stafford. I like Stafford a lot next year. I think he's a little undervalued because he's still in that QB2 range ADP wise, but with McVay and they have plenty of weapons there, is easily Stafford. The 22 first is the only thing that really matters to me on the other side, and he's worth more than a 22 first.
Yeah, like if you replace Drew Lock with, like, I almost said Sam Bradford, that would have been funny. Sam Darnold, like, this would make me think a bit more. Honestly, I might even just be cool taking Sam Darnold, because I always liked him. I like the situation he's in. They took his fifth year option, so I think they're at least giving him 2 years. So, but Drew Lock, there's such a good chance he just doesn't even play. But, like, let's pretend he does. Let's say he starts the season and he does decent and he plays next season. It could be good. Like, that could work out. I still take the Stafford side, but I'm trying to make it seem like it makes sense. I remember seeing the trade and be like, why? I literally put in the group chat, stop making Melo's team better. I don't want that to happen. Stop it.
Yeah. I'm not taking on that lock risk if I don't have to. I have enough teams with it on there already.
Yeah. I helped you out with that in Junkies already. I think I clicked 2 seconds instead of one and I wound up with Drew Lock.
Oh yeah, we had Drew. That's one place where I drafted Drew Lock last year, and me and Dust, I've Jake knows this. I've said this in the chat. I totally blame Dustin for screwing up that team. We were horrible year one, and we're totally rebuilding. That was the league I got the Trevor Lawrence offer in, by the way.
Yeah, I heard you say Trevor Lawrence. I'm like, I can only think of one place that makes sense for him.
Yeah.
you want to give a nice, wonderful call out to who sent you that offer? You're going to keep it in?
No, I'll leave it alone.
Aw, you're such a nice guy. Yeah, so everyone's Stafford on that one, and yeah, I really kind of think that may have been Jerry, so sorry, Jerry. Let's go on to, okay, let's actually jump TA3 for a second, because we're just going to be sticking on that one for a bunch. Trade Addicts 8. This one, I have no idea what to make of the Patriots tight end situation, so this is why I put this on here, even though it's not really that big of a deal. Hunter Henry for a 22 second, and the 22 second was from last year's champion. So we're gonna assume it's at least a playoff team, even though I know we're not supposed to do that. So Jake, Hunter Henry, or what we're gonna think is a late 22 second?
That's Hunter Henry. Like, I don't see how it's not Hunter Henry. In 1.75, even if he only has half of New England's tight ends, there's no receivers there. He'll produce enough to outscore a late second in a class that's allegedly not that good.
Yeah, right, Jake. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Jake pretty much said it. There's 1.75 premium. Why would you not spend the late second for a guy that could be, we don't know how it's going to break down between him and Johnny. He could be the tight end one on that team, and they don't have any receivers, like Jake said.
But see, the thing is, like, I mean, they do have receivers, but if you look at who they have,
well, no, man, I could, real good ones.
Well, yeah, but like they have speedy guys, like they have Aguilar and other guys that I can't remember anymore. Hunter Henry's Bourne. The only.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne.
Never mind. Sorry, Peter.
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, like Hunter Henry's the only big guy there. So I think he has a role regardless of what they do with the rest of the team. And yeah, Jonnu's a big dude, but he's a seam stretcher. He's not the big catch over the middle guy. So I. Well, clearly, yes, I'm going to side with Hunter Henry on this. But like, I've been struggling with the idea of going and trying to trade for him because I don't know if people are still down on him because of the whole weird Patriots free agency stuff, or if I can get him for, like, I kind of wish I sent this trade, even though Tyler already stole all of my draft picks. All I have are two 23rd fifths. I literally have no picks left in TA8, so I couldn't have done this anyway. But now I think I might go try and do that because tight end is such a wasteland past the top three that this, why not, right? Like you guys just said, why not for a late second? Whew, okay, I talked about Hunter Henry more than I thought I was going to. Let's jump to TA9. So who in their right mind would trade Chase Claypool for Tom Brady?
I wonder who would do that. that would be me. I got Chase Claypool in another trade we talked about on this show before. With the idea of flipping him, and I thought I could get something good for him. I've been trying for weeks since that happened, and I wasn't getting anything. And it's funny, I actually DM'd the guy after I did this because I basically said I was doing Find Me a Trade for Junkies, and I actually wasn't on. It was this past week. Scott was on with Cousin Vito, but I gave him a little write-up for my trade for the show. And the last thing I put on there is just, for that trade was that it was kind of the deal that even though you might be losing the trade, it works for your team. And that's what I thought here. You know, I have my quarterback situation like I do on a lot of teams. I think I have Cousins and Ben and Winston and TA9. And so it was probably not quite enough value-wise for Claypool, but I wasn't getting much for him. I think Tom Brady helps me win this year, and now I have Brady and Cousins for sure. Winston may be there, and Ben is Ben. So I thought it was worth doing. I think it helps me win. I have a pretty win-now team. I have some guys that are a little younger, but as always, my teams are pretty win now. I think I mentioned in the chat in TA9, I actually win a decent amount of youth and age there. And then like Russ tries to do with me, everybody in TA9 was the little devil on my shoulder. Like somebody, we talked about this last week when Scott Fish was on that, I ended up trading 109 for Hopkins during the show last week. Because people are just giving me old guys and for good deals. So I was fine with it. I'm not big on Claypool anyway. I think Deontay is the target hog there. Juju's still there. In a year or two, this is probably going to look bad for me. But if I win a title in one of those 2 years, I'll be fine.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember you did that trade. And I remember you saying that you were just going to flip him anyway. And then I'm like, ooh, I'll go get Chase Claypool. Then I realized I have Juju and Deontay on my team. And not looking for that, you know, trio on one team. What do you – okay. How do you even ask this? Like, is this the worst trade you've ever seen, Jake?
No, I actually saw this. I saw this and I was with Rocky. I'm not a Claypool
guy. Good man,
guy.
Jake.
I know the value's there, but, and I don't know how, but I had a feeling it was a Rocky trade because somebody bought Tom Brady.
Exactly, because someone paid a young wide receiver for Tom Brady, so you know it's a Rocky trade.
Somebody needs a quarterback, and there's a million young wide receivers.
Exactly, and he's like my wide receiver four or something like that on that team.
30 usable quarterbacks on a good day, so I get it. The value is clearly on the other side, but I'm totally fine with that. There's three receivers there for an 800-year-old quarterback who can throw it 4 yards down the field.
Yeah, that's really what I'm sort of concerned about. So you remember when I said you should always check your rejections? I sent FF Trader Joe. What did I say? Okay. Here's some of the bad trades I sent. Devontae Parker, Tyler Higbee, and a 22 first for George Kittle. and his response was just an eye roll emoji.
Rush will send anything.
I have no idea what made me think that was a good idea. I really have no idea. Because he said he was looking for 22 first. So I clicked a 22 first and I just clicked a tight end, clicked a wide receiver and just went with it. Yeah, that was bad. So I spend a lot of time thinking about the Pittsburgh wide receivers, which annoys the hell out of me because I hate the Steelers. But I do have a lot of Juju shares. I have a couple of Deontay shares and very few Claypool shares. And I think I keep running into the same problem that you guys are saying. How often is Ben going to be able to have the time to throw deep and have the physical ability to throw deep? Like once we hit week 9, week 10, is he going to be completely worn out like he was this year? And I get it. You don't really... Yeah, talent over situation, because this was probably going to be Ben's last year anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just so I have no idea. I'm not as dumb as Rocky. I'm not going to sell him for a 50-year-old quarterback or anything. But I think I'm looking to move Claypool too. And I don't know what to do it for. I have him in the 12 Olympians League, which I took over for Jesse Reeves because I don't say no to anyone when they tell me to start running their league for them. At least I was in it when he asked. I have him, and I even during the draft, I was trying to trade him or use him to move up, and I'm just like, this doesn't feel like it's enough value, but I don't want him on my team, so why should it matter? And I froze and didn't do anything during the – maybe I should have just pulled the freaking trigger like you did. So maybe
I didn't do it for quite a few days because I was getting hung up on the value thing, and – and by the way, speaking of 50-year-old quarterbacks, I mean, there's a non-zero chance Tom Brady outlasts Claypool.
That is a very fair statement. And the thing is, it's not going to be because Claypool has a short career. It's because Tom Brady's not human.
Yeah. I think he just said he wants to play even longer than 45 or something like that.
He wants
that,
to play at least 50, I'm 50, sure.
Something like that. But yeah, I mean that was the only I hadn't done it for I think it sat in my inbox for 3 days. And I said, when I did that write up about the trade on the Junkies, and I was just the value doesn't work for me, but the points do. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I think I have to. It's something I definitely have to work on. I remember shortly after the draft last year, Shane at Swagzilla 0G traded away Clyde Edwards-Helaire straight up for DeAndre Swift. And it rose hell on Twitter. And he's like, I think Swift is better. I made the trade. And even I'm like, well, you could have gotten something on top. He's like, well, the guy wouldn't give me anything. And I wanted Swift instead. And I'm like, I don't get it. He was right. It worked out better for him.
I posted a poll on that trade months later, and it came out way in favor of the Swift side.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Man, sometimes you do just got to. All right. That was not me that made Jake this. What are you doing, Jake?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I just looked at my phone to see if it was doing something to use up all the. I don't know. Somebody's probably streaming something upstairs.
Can only get one of those things at a time. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I do need to just get over it a little bit. And if I want Claypool off my team, don't do something stupid like trade him for Tom Brady, but at least get something that is close to what I'm comfortable for. All right, we're going to move off this before I keep saying mean things for absolutely no reason whatsoever. But yeah, I do firmly believe Tom Brady's going to play till he's 50. So let's go through Trade Addicts 3. All we have are Dustin trades, and I went and got the percentages. So in case anyone listening doesn't know what has been coined the outhouse challenge, one day, I think it was like 2 years ago at this point, I was just super bored, and I put out there, any trade someone offers me, I am going to put a poll on Twitter. And if the side you're offering me wins the poll, I'm going to accept the trade. It was okay. I every time I bring this up, I give everyone the caveat. This is exhausting to do, especially if you're in a lot of leagues. Look how blue my hand is.
Because I saw of the that light. Too.
It's really, I couldn't, I kept doing this because I couldn't stop looking at it. So it's actually fatiguing. It's tiring to keep running all of these and checking results because other people are offering same things for, you know, player. And then I literally ran over 100 polls the first time I did this.
Yeah, I did. I was totally exhausting.
I was dumb for not limiting to certain leagues. I learned later on that I did like two or three leagues at a time, and it's much better. So the things I will tell you, if you are going to do something stupid like I did, like Dustin did, like Rocky at least admitted he did, okay, only a few leagues at a time. When you're making the polls, set them for like 2 to 4 hours. It defaults to 24. Dustin didn't change any of them, but still accepted trade. So I don't know what the hell his threshold was. I wasn't going to ask. I was just going to let him keep doing whatever the hell he's doing. But like, set them for like 2, 3, 4 hours, just because it's reasonable, right? Like, you don't want to make things wait 24 hours because that defeats the purpose of what you're doing, right? This isn't, you know, you're not going to get good advice on Twitter polls. You're just going to have fun and see what happens. And also, limit people. Don't say you could only send me one offer. And we're going to jump. This is going to be the lead into the trade. If James Robinson for a 22 second ends up losing, like I have James Robinson, you offer me a 22 second. If James Robinson wins the poll, you don't get to offer me James Robinson for 22 seconds. Which is exactly what happened to Dustin because he did not put these rules in effect.
That actually is the only non-Dustin trade on here.
Was it? Because there was still a poll. I went and I got it. Was that not Dustin?
That was not Dustin. That was me.
Oh, what the hell am I talking about?
I don't know. But I actually tried to get a free second out of it by offering James Robinson to Dustin for 222 seconds.
Well, no, because I have on here James Robinson for 222 seconds. Did I look at the wrong trade? What did you trade for James Robinson?
A 22 second.
Oh, dude, I think I broke my own brain.
And then I offered him to Dustin today. This happened like yesterday. And then I offered Justin James Robinson for 222 seconds because Jerry ran a poll where James Robinson came out way ahead of the second. So I figured, let me see if I can get a free second. But it didn't work.
Oh, okay. So, which is really funny because I asked Jerry to run that original poll because I was curious how it was going to be. And James Robinson thankfully won. But I stick by my story, even though it was it was incorrectly used, which is super weird because why the hell did I find a poll for the 22 seconds where the 22 seconds were winning? Oh, no, because they lost.
They lost. Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless, James Robinson won 61% to 39%. So I'm just going to delete that. And we're going to go to Sam Darnold and Antonio Gibson for Deshaun Watson and Mike Gesicki. I stared at this one for a while, but what do you think of this, Jake?
I did too. It's Darnold and Gibson. I think I'm pretty much off of Watson until something. It's been quiet for so long. I don't know if it's good or bad, and I just don't want any part of it. I think 2 years out of Darnold plus Gibson, I think it's worth it. In the end, you might lose this, but if I can win, I'm going to do Darnold and Gibson.
Yeah, what about you, Rock?
I agree with Jake, just because I don't think you have to pay this for Watson right now. I still think his value actually has rebounded. I don't think people are selling him as cheap as they were at one point. But I just don't think you have to give up this much to get Watson. So I would rather have Darnold and Gibson, like we talked about with Darnold. He looks like he has at least 2 years. I'm not a big Gibson guy. I'm not sure I think last year might have been the highest he ever finishes as RB 12 or something like that. But he's definitely got a lot of value. So, I mean, I can flip him and get something where I don't have to worry about if the guy's going to miss the whole 21 season as well. So, yeah, I would rather have the Darnold and Gibson side. And if I'm going to buy Watson, pay less than that.
Yeah, truth. Both pieces of that side kind of worry me a little bit. On the surface, I love the idea of Mike Gesicki. I love Penn State pass catchers because they're all seem to do really well, I say, as the day after the Broncos cut Deshaun Hamilton, even though it's not like he was meant to be anything huge. But like I like Mike Gesicki. I like what he does, and I love he was looking really good with Tua towards the end of the season. Plus, I mean, Tua created one of before Kyle Pitts, he created one of the only productive tight ends in college. Like Irv Smith, like actually, scored points, which and like got yards, which normally doesn't happen in college. Why it's so hard to evaluate tight ends a lot. So like, I love the idea of Tua's tight end, but then there was those rumors that they're going to put him on the block, and then they draft Long.
Hunter Long.
Hunter, I almost said Howard Long. That's not right. And like, I think it was the fourth, which is decent capital for a tight end. So like, I'm a little worried about him, but I think he goes somewhere and I think he starts. Like, let's put that way. Like, if Mike Gesicki's going somewhere, I do think he's good enough and young enough that he's going to walk into a starting position. But still, the idea of that hanging over its head and the stuff with Deshaun Watson hanging over, the fact that I like Sam Darnold, the fact that RB12 might be Gibson's ceiling, especially without Captain Dumpoff there anymore. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to give him the ball as much as Alex Smith did, and Alex Smith threw it to McKissick more than he did to Gibson anyway. So I think I am pretty easily on as well on the Darnold and Gibson side, which Twitter was, which is why this deal went through. It was 63.5% for Darnold and Gibson and 36.5% for Watson and Gesicki. See, it's great to see people use this correctly. Like, if you wanted Deshaun Watson, this is such the perfect time to go get him. You probably could have sent a cheaper offer, like Rocky was saying, but you know no one's voting for a Watson side, so you go and you use this situation to go get Watson. This next one confused me. So J.K. Dobbins, Deebo Samuel, and Laviska Shenault for 3 2022 firsts. Let me just say, one side got 68%, the other side got 32%. Go, Jake. What do you think about what Deebo Dobbins, and we're changing Laviska's last name to Denault because so we could do three D's for 3 2022 firsts.
I think that's easily the players. I mean, Dobbins is over a first in value. Chenault's right there at a first, maybe a little bit more. Debo's probably not quite there, but I mean, 3 2022 firsts. The chances of all three of those being a high value pick seems low. You're not 99 times out of 100, you're not getting 1 through 3. You're probably getting a 4, an 8, and a 12. I definitely want the players and the production because each one of those firsts you're hoping turns into each one of the players.
What about you, Rock?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Jake and that I lean the players, but I don't think it's nearly as big of a gap as this poll indicates. Just because I don't view anybody but Dobbins as worth a first. I mean, maybe I'm low on Laviska, and he should be worth.
Yes,
a
you
first.
Are. Yes, he is.
But I don't want to give up a first for Laviska. I definitely don't want to give up a first for Deebo. Dobbins is worth a first plus, if not two firsts. But I always tend to favor the players. I don't like trading for purely picks generally, unless I'm in a total rebuild. And this is not that situation necessarily. Dustin, you know, it's just a challenge. So I don't think he was looking to rebuild with all these trades. So not that I don't think his team was great last year, but yeah, I would go with the players just because I would rather get players back than just 3 2022 firsts.
Well, I mean, Dustin got the players and yeah, 68% to 32%. The picks were 32%.
Oh, that's right, Dustin. Yeah.
Like, I can't, I don't know, man. Like, I love me some picks, but J.K. Dobbins, like, I'm not the biggest Deebo Samuel fan, but I still like him enough, and I do believe in Visca, and I don't think you're getting him for less than a first, and I don't think you're getting Dobbins for Are you getting Dobbins for a first and a second future? I think you have to pay two future firsts, which means free Debo Samuel. I did not get this whatsoever when I saw it come across the board. But again, it was that person's trade who sent it over there. Like, he chose to do this.
I don't know why somebody would send that on a challenge like this. You're usually trying to kind of sneak one by the goalie with that, and that's going the other way.
Yeah, again, unless they are trying to pull the J. Mike Invitational and they want every single first round pick, that's the way to do it, right?
That was great.
You know, if you haven't, if anyone listening hasn't seen it, I don't remember if I pimped it out last week, but J. Mike had the first, what was it? It was like probably like 20 of the first 24 picks of the TA6 draft, which he changed the name to the J. Mike Invitational draft, which we all went along with because he was right and he deserved it. So he literally had the first 12 picks, missed out on the 113, which was the consolation prize, and Har would not move it whatsoever. But then J. Mike had like the 201 through 203. It was, and go look for at J. Mike check, J-M-I-C check. And he did a thread of the first 12 picks, which of course he picks completely out of ADP order. And made little videos.
Marins was at 112.
Lawrence was at 112, which is funny because he's a Jags fan, which makes it even funnier for me. Like, that he literally just was screwing with everything, making him go 112. And like, he did funny little videos where like he was talking to himself and had like little things popping up. It was so much fun. Just a, so good. So yeah, go, if you haven't watched it, go check it out. It's definitely worth the longest one's like 2 minutes long, so you're not like wasting your day, but it's so freaking funny. So yeah, the only thing I could think is like, if you are super full on rebuild, which I think this team is, but I don't know, I think selling the guys, at least selling Dobbins separately, I think you can do more. But also Dobbins and Viska are young, and so is Debo, but I don't know if Debo is really a rebuilding piece, but like, still, they're young enough where
that's true. Even if you're rebuilding, you'd probably rather hold on to those guys.
If I have my own first, I don't want Dobbins on my team because young running backs go against rebuilds in my brain, even though Dobbins is young enough and good enough that he'll be around for 2-3 years and you'll still be fine. But I don't, and this did not compute in my brain.
Yeah, and we're not Debbie guys, but everything I hear, 22 is not supposed to be a great class anyway. So,
well, there's going to be from what I hear, there's two good quarterbacks, one could be good quarterback, two good running backs, and then I mean, there was a lot of hype for like David Bell, who was Rondale Moore's teammate, the wide receiver, Justin Ross. Yeah, like there's a couple of guys coming out that should be good, but nothing like past years where you're going to be confident going in. like you're not going to see five first round wide receivers next year. Like, that's just, I don't think that's going to be a case. And you're definitely not going to see five top 15 quarterbacks.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, not to say we know anything or everything, but yeah, the fact that all of us and Twitter on one side, that's a, you know, that says something, right? Well, our last trade, Daniel Jones for a 23 first. I like Daniel Jones as a fantasy asset. I mean, as a real quarterback, I don't know. But going off of last year isn't fair to him. That offense deteriorated after Saquon got hurt and that offensive line was trash. Even towards the end of the year where they moved some offensive linemen around, they started to play a little better. And the offense was moving a little better. Now, they have Saquon coming back where he started posting those videos of him running. So watch out, Saquon value. And they grabbed Kadarius Toney, which I get, no one cares about too much in fantasy, but you need fast dudes on your team. You know, Henry Ruggs, John Ross, not Justin Ross. Like, they got drafted high for Will Fuller. They got drafted high for a reason. They're very good for their football team, not maybe for our fantasy teams. And they got Kenny Golladay. They got Kelvin Benjamin as their tight end. I forgot about that till right now. Oh, what is going on in this league?
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin and Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's tight ends today. I do think this offense is going to be markedly better. So I picked Daniel Jones on this. It's pretty easy.
I'm with you. I mean, pretty much any starting quarterback, I think, should be worth a first. And this one is two drafts out. I mean, and to talk about class is. I mean, 23 is supposed to be a better class than 22 or maybe 21 as well. But you got 2 years to get a 23 first back. So, yeah, I would give up a 23 first for Daniel Jones. This is kind of like the sort of move I might make is this is on one of my teams where I'm hurting a quarterback because Drew Brees or Phil Rivers retired for me. I may go out and make this offer somewhere actually after the show and see if I can get this done. I'd be fine. Like, and Daniel Jones also has rushing upside,
yes,
which you didn't mention, but, and I agree with you. I think things got off to a horrible start last year for him. They had a tough schedule and it just kind of snowballed. Losing Saquon killed them. So having him back, and again, Tony is not a probably a fantasy asset, but he could help the offense. So yeah, I would give up a first 2 years from now, regardless of what the class is supposed to be, for a starting quarterback that's at least this year. And if he's half decent, I think he's still probably they still probably keep him for at least one more year.
No, I mean, Gettleman's one of those football guys. He's going to give his first round quarterback like 6 years to fail. Like, it's going to take Gettleman getting fired, which it doesn't seem like is ever going to happen, for Daniel Jones to go away. What do you think, Jake? 23 first or Daniel Jones?
All the smart people tell me to take the 23 first. No offense, Rocky, not that you're not smart. But like, I've got like Scott Connor in leagues just hoarding 23 firsts for whatever he has to pay to get them. I probably go that way unless I really need a QB2 and I've got no other options. But I think I'd take the pick there, reset the quarterback, hopefully, because I think 23 at quarterback is supposed to be strong. Maybe not 21 strong, but strong again. I think I'd take the reset there. And I know there's a lot of running backs that are going to get pushed down in that class too. But I get Daniel Jones.
Yeah, see, I can't do like, I don't know what situation my team would have to be in for me to sell Daniel Jones for a 23 first. First, let's put this out there. Daniel Jones only got 37.8% of the votes. I mean, 62.2% voted for a 23 first. A first 2 years out that, yes, I understand is supposed to be a great year. But let's be honest. What happened to the value of 2021 firsts after the NFL draft? They got a little easier to get. They got a lot easier to get. And we're still at the point where, well, forget it. We're still at the point that who the hell knows what's going to, if the world's going to exist in 2023. What is that, Kyle Shanahan? I don't know who's going to be, if we're going to be alive on Sunday. Yeah. So, I mean, and you'll have plenty of time to buy back picks unless you're in a league with Scott Connor, who's just not going to give them to you. But it's just, it seemed crazy to me to sell a starting quarterback that, like, I think isn't going anywhere and will give you ceiling weeks. I think he has a decent floor and we've seen him score 30, 40 points on multiple occasions. So I do think that he's easily worth more than a 23 first. And the thing is, I have at least two or three teams where he's my third quarterback and I still don't think I'd do this. And because, I mean, I'm not even the person that needs three quarterbacks. I am absolutely fine riding with two, which I mostly do because I get bored and the third quarterback's an easily tradable asset. So I usually end up trading my third quarterback. But a 23 first, I don't see it. I don't understand the upside of waiting 2 years and hoping that people don't stay back till next year, hoping that none of these dudes, you know, hurt themselves. None of these dudes, like, we thought Chuba Hubbard was going to be a first round pick. We thought all of the Edwards and Johnsons last year were going to be first round picks and they all just fell. Like, it seems so weird to take stock in this is going to happen in 2 years.
Yeah. Jake mentioned a reset and you kind of alluded to this, like, you're resetting in 2 years though. So, I mean, unless you're going to trade, you think you can trade a 23 first for something better than Daniel Jones, that you're still,
and like you said before, you're hoping it's going to be that top four, top five, where you're going to get one of, I mean, let's face it, the good quarterbacks. Like, I'd be sad if I traded away Daniel Jones and ended up with like Zach Wilson. Like, I would rather have Daniel Jones on my team, and or even Mac Jones. I mean, I'd rather have Daniel Jones. So another does not compute, where it doesn't seem to make sense to me, especially because, again, he's young. This isn't like This isn't like trading a young wide receiver for Tom Brady. I mean, let's just...
I knew that was coming.
I wish I didn't stutter on him. Like, I should have just gone with it. I'm like, do I make fun of him again for it? Yeah, let's make fun of him again for it. Like, to me, it just, like...
I'll be laughing all the way to a title, Russ.
No, that... TA9 is mine, baby. TA9 is mine. Honestly, I won a TA league once. I don't have to... I could never win again, and I'm still happy. Like, but... like I won a TA, like my life is, I'm good, I'm done, it's fine. That's fine. That's a lie. I want to keep winning. I want to win every league. I want to win them all. That's my goal. I want to win 1 through 9 this year. No, that definitely can't happen. My TA4 team, I literally just don't have any players. Next year, 1 through 10, because P-Win's not making it in, but there's going to be a 10.
Two things I want to mention before we finish up, because I know we're almost near the end of the show sheet, but I love Jake flexing the series of double digit jerseys.
We talked about this before you jumped on. It is so damn. And the thing is, they're actually all autographed. You can't see it from here. And so
for people,
patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you could be watching us record right now and you could see that at the Jake Earl has it perfect, his camera perfectly angled where you get to see his beautiful smiling face, his Pizza Planet t-shirt. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing a Wilderness Explorer shirt, so nice. Rock on Pixar. And right behind him on this wall, he has framed autographed jerseys, and they are the series of 00, 00, 11, 22, 33, 44. And it's just the coolest thing ever, except it gets even cooler because explain your 88s that you got going on.
So I've gotten Allen Hurns jersey sitting there as a Jags fan. I think that was actually the first jersey I ever got. And when I put this up over the weekend, because I had to get it ready for tonight, it didn't really fit. Everything's either like a Hall of Famer or a modern great, and then it's Allen Hurns. So like a week ago, I ponied up and bought a CeeDee Lamb jersey that's sitting on the chair right there.
Yep.
And I just did not have time to frame that in tonight. So that'll be an upgrade here by the end of the week.
Rocky, turn your camera.
What?
No, Jake, turn your camera to the rest of your stuff. Like, you have to, like, I'm so jealous of this guy's collection of all of, like, this is what I want.
Oh man.
This is some good podcast right here.
This is why you should have the Patreon.
So this is great for audio.
Yeah.
I can describe all
helmets, football. Helmets. So he's got this like man cave of just tons of football stuff all surrounding him.
And I just saw recently on Pristine Auction, they actually have signed pylons.
Yep.
That's the coolest thing ever. I won't.
Is nobody. That's Josh Scobie. So if you aren't a Jags fan, you probably don't even know who Josh Scobie is. Yeah, he's a kicker.
Yeah. So, I knew that. Fantasy is the only reason I know it, but I know it.
Yeah, he was a kicker, so it was an easy pylon to grab. It has a smudge on it, but it's pretty cool.
Who cares? That's so random and so funny that they would think to get pylons autographed and put in boxes and sell them, that people would actually buy them. People will buy anything. I don't know why they bother, you know, thinking that. All right, that is, in fact, the end of our... What were you going to say, Rocky?
No, I was just going to say that I said two things. The second thing I was going to mention was, Russ, how do you feel about the fact that we are well under an hour and a half tonight?
I got nothing. See, here's the thing. I was going to do the outhouse challenge today, and Dustin's like, I'm going to do that too. And in my brain, I went, oh, God, thank you. I didn't really have the energy to do that. Like, I got to be honest. Like, I have not, like... That rejection email thing was the only thing I had to talk about. Nothing interesting happened. There weren't any mind-blowing trades this week, which, come on, guys, you're holding us back. I was in the Cool Kids Club begging for questions. We got one. You know, I'm telling you, Rocky, you got to start tweeting out asking for questions, because my co-hosts always get more questions than I do. So, yeah, we are probably just at about an hour, a little over an hour with what we were talking about. But I got to be honest, I have nothing to add right now. The fact that we just took time in a podcast to look at Jake's autograph collection just shows that we're out of things to talk about. So
I don't think Dustin's going to do an outhouse challenge again.
No, I don't think he's ever going to do that again.
Because he did it in another league I'm in with him. And he had a team where in the startup, he traded away all of his picks. I think he had a 23 fourth left. Now he's got like 4 firsts in the next 2 years, a bunch of seconds and thirds. I got Amari Cooper for basically my 22 draft class and Kendrick Bourne.
especially because like he does. I saw like he's in a league that's 0.25 points per carry. And yeah, everyone was coming after Kyler. And I'm like, that's what I'd be doing too. Like, cause in a real world, you're not trading Kyler for anything, but you know, not everyone's reading all of that stuff.
Right.
So
yeah, oh, I know he DM'd me or texted me earlier. He's like, I don't want to lose Amari. And I think you won that one, right?
I did. I got Amari out of that one. I was like, yeah. I don't care. It's a one first and 2 seconds and a bunch of crap. So oh, that's for Amari.
Yeah. So there you go. Be careful what you wish for. It's fun, but oh man, you lose some stuff and you don't
feel I don't think he got one. In that league, he got no trades that he would have actually wanted. They were all just proven older players for a bunch of picks. Nothing going back.
On the plus side, he got Visca, Dobbins, and Debo for a couple of firsts that, you know, he didn't even need anyway. Whew, but on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Before we go, Jake, I'm so glad you finally got on because we scheduled you like 2 months ago because Rocky went nuts scheduling people. So I'm glad you're finally here. I hope you had fun.
I did. I had a great time.
Yes, for the times you were actually here and you didn't randomly disappear. but before we head out, why don't you drop your Twitter handle again? And I'm sure you're starting a podcast. So let us know what that's going to be about.
The Twitter handle's at the Jake Earl. Other than that, I don't have any podcasts or anything. If you go to that Twitter handle and I get one, you'll find it.
Yay. Okay. Well, we've said it a few times, but patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us live stream where you can see Jake's awesome man cave that I'm super, super jealous of. And I'm going to reach through the screen to steal that CD Lamb jersey, even though I'm not a Cowboys fan in any way, shape, or form. CD Lamb's just awesome. And also, you could be in the chat talking to us, like, you know, Damian was trying to get us to say weird things about Blake Bortles being the starting quarterback for the Packers next year. weird flex, bro. Is that what kids say these days? Or like 5 years ago? I don't know. And also you get to be in the Cool Kids Club, the awesome GroupMe chat, which is where I threw in, hey, who hasn't been on Trade Addicts and wants to be on? And Jake's like, I think I do. Okay.
You know, yeah, that's about it.
That's legitimately how it happened. So you know, that always ups your chances of getting on here if you ever want to get on here. And let's face it, if you ask, you're going to get on here anyway. But we also have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, our awesome group. No, our awesome merch shop. I almost said grouping chat again. Nope, Wilderness Explorers. I was wearing a Trade Addict shirt before, earlier today. But man, I had to go outside. And if I go outside in anything more than like 55 degrees, I start sweating. I am disgusting. Trade Addicts, Junkies, what other shows? Timeline, Get Real with Casey, all the DAP Network shows, plus Superflex Super Show, the aforementioned Dynasty Diagnostic, if it ever comes back. And this stuff is still in the shop anyway, even if you just want to, you know, shout out to your Stompy and Aton buddies. FF Intervention, Dynasty Vipers, so much stuff I can't remember anymore. But the cool thing about the shop is every penny that comes in goes to charity. And since I didn't write it down, I completely forgot the charity you chose, Rocky. So
Brain Aneurysm Foundation in honor of James the Brain.
All right. James the Brain. Deuces. Peace out. So any money that comes in, every single penny of it will go to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. Was that what it was?
Yes, Foundation.
Cool. And on that note, I am your host, Russ Fisher, who is talking slowly and stuttering to hope to get this to at least like an hour and 15, hour and 20. at Dynasty Outhouse, he is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. Take the FF out of it or something, or just or put it at the end. Like, I keep stuttering over your freaking handle. We are at Trade Addicts Pod, members of at DAP_network and the DLF family of podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff to all of that. And yeah, I give up. I had fun. That's what matters. The quality over quantity. We had a great damn time.
We did.
Yes. Yeah. But on that note, I'm going to bed early. So good night, fellas.
Good night, Rex.
I missed the button.